Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their Showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Here's the Chicago offense.
Matt Forte, Tulane University.
Matt Forte.
Mike Martz. Mike, we talk with Matt Forte once a week.
Oh, my guy. I love Matt. I just love Matt.
What did you love about Matt?
Everything. There wasn't anything he couldn't do. I kept telling them, this guy's, he's not Marshall, but he does the same kind of things that Marshall can do. You know, I just remember right before we're playing Detroit at our place in the opener, and he takes a screen like 90 yards for a touchdown.
Out in the flat with a Kreutz block. It's Forte to the 20.
To the end zone. Touchdown.
Who was that lead blocker?
Olin Kreutz with a block.
The old veteran comes out there, cuts the defender off of his feet.
89 yards on the touchdown by Forte.
And a two-man drill, start a two-man drill. Who does that? Just running through tackles. He's a big guy with speed, and yet he was elusive. And he pummeled, buddy. He would take it. He just was such a fabulous player. I mean, he was at least 40 to 50% of our offense there. I mean, he just kept getting him the ball any way we could.
Yeah,
he won that game with a bolt throw down the sideline, caught it in the end zone at the end of the game.
Cutler backpedals, sets, launches for Forte. Diving catch. Touchdown, Bears. A dramatic catch by Matt Forte.
Underrated, but I still be scoring Matt Forte. Matt Forte with Spiegel and Holmes.
I think we're on record of how important Matt is.
On 670 The Score.
Ordinarily in this spot, we are talking with Matt Forte, but we're trying to log on with him and don't have him as of yet. We will get to him as soon as we get him here.
I know what happened.
What?
He saw a patch of green grass.
And just started running?
Just started running. He's out there. That's one of my favorite moments of this football season. And there's been a lot of them. Is as we were establishing our relationship with Matt, and he was talking, because it was right after the bye. It was right after the bye, and the Bears had pivoted and started to run the ball like crazy. And we're like, Matt, what did you see when you watched the game? And he said, I saw seams. I saw seams open up and made me want to go run. That's what happens when I see green.
Whenever I see an open field, I want to just go run. That's all I want to do.
Like picturing Matt Forte just like he's Secretariat driving around in a car. I've never seen Secretariat in a car. It's a tough fit.
It is.
But he gets it done. He finds a way. And Secretariat is just sitting there in the passenger seat. And he looks out. He sees a patch of green grass. He's like, I know what to do with that.
It's kind of amazing, like some of the things that you remember. And look, I was in no way like a superior athlete, but like my time of playing ball, like still,
oh dude,
it speaks to me in different ways. Like the way that I judge whether or not I can work is, could I catch seven innings today? And if the answer is yes,
then you could go to work.
Then I can go to work.
You mean here at the radio station?
Yeah, I literally,
like this job.
I judge how I feel by could I
but
catch
Lawrence,
a game today?
I haven't seen you squat even once during a radio show, though. You know, it's the squatting for seven innings.
Yeah, I can do that.
You could do that?
I did a 300-pound deadlift this morning, so I think I got it.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
I had the trap bar out and everything.
I saw Malik Willis just, like, hanging out behind the line of scrimmage in that game on Saturday night, like, waiting for the refs to sort something out, and he was just squatting. He was, like, hanging out in the catcher's squat, and I was like, what are you doing? That hurts.
Well, now
stand
they got,
up.
Like, now the technology is so much better. Like, they've got all of the stuff to hold you up. Now, if you're a catcher, like, you've got all of those things that'll take care of you. Back, like,
what do you mean? They got little...
The equipment that they have, like, you can kind of lean a little bit on the equipment.
Oh, like your your shin pads have a little kickstand?
Yeah, basically. Like, they've got all that stuff now.
That's cheating.
And I mean,
how does AJ feel about that?
And some guys are taking... Most guys are taking pitches on one knee anyway.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people doing that. But, like... That's a high bar. What I'm saying is your ability to catch seven innings is a high bar. I was thinking about just like the way that you remember those athletic moments. Like there was I had a moment in a pickup basketball game in college where I was just feeling it. I was Barkley. Like I was going coast to coast. I was getting rebounds and I was leading the break and finishing. And I remember like some dudes were tired and we all took a break. And a guy was on the varsity team at Emerson. A friend of mine was sitting there winded, and I just felt great. And I remember that feeling of walking by and seeing him winded and being like, I think I'm the best player on the court today.
You know, it's funny. Like, one of the first things I remember about meeting you is you talking about, like, basketball, like how much you loved playing.
I hooped all the time. In the 90s, when you and I met, I was hooping all the time.
We used to play what we would call noon ball because we all played at noon. Get it?
Thanks for sorting that out for me.
At DePaul, if you're like, hey, are you playing noon ball today?
Yeah.
And then we get players, and Kim Williams, who was one of the best players in DePaul history, she was so good.
You stay out of DePaul business.
You stay out of it. She would come.
Oh, you said Kim Williams.
Kim.
I thought you said Ken.
No, Kim, not him. He was on treadmill. But Kim was putting us on skates. You know, like
she
was so good and we loved playing with her. And when she showed up, we're like, man, business just picked up. Like this game is about to get real because there's a real point guard with the basketball. Like you think about some of that fun stuff.
Oh, dude, absolutely. I used to play pickup games at the New City YMCA before they tore it down over there at North and Clybourne.
Ah.
That was my rec league spot. And I'd go there all the time and play. And one time I played with a DePaul legend, Skip Dillard.
A DePaul legend.
I played hoops there. Like, there would be great players sometimes. You'd be like, oh, yeah, I can't hang with those guys.
Yeah, that's...
I'm not going to be able to do that.
I do wish that I was better...
But you still just... You ran and you played D.
Yeah.
And you gave up the ball, and you got your burn
in. And you screen if you have to every now and again.
Absolutely.
So the last time that I played, like, actual basketball, it was, like, a media game over at the UC. We play or at the Advocate Center, actually. We played over there, and I got screened by Bill Winnington. And I'm like, that is...
That ain't right.
Like, that's ridiculous. I am 5'9", sir.
Sir, you were one of the five fouls that were allotted towards Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
That is not fair.
It's not fair.
Like, you and Joe Klein and Luke Longley?
Yeah, Luke.
Right?
And I'm
I could be mixing my ears a little bit.
It doesn't matter. But and we see what you're saying.
Cartwright and James Buddha Edwards and the late Bison Dele and all those guys. Hello, my name is Five Fouls.
Yes.
It's good to meet you.
I did appreciate what Bill said, and I was like, because I got it on video. And I'm like, Bill, why'd you scream? And he's like, because you were there. And I was like, good enough. That makes a lot of sense. And so when we had Charles on last week,
was Bill on the motorcycle, by the way, screening you?
No, he was on the move though, and it hurt.
Still packing a wallop.
Yeah, I didn't fall though, and I took that as a good sign. Like I didn't just
sure
I just
that's a win.
I just didn't disintegrate.
Yeah, the winds morph a little bit. The goalposts move little bit.
But now when I see people at the gym, I see you at UOC, like that's my home gym. And so I see people go in there and they go hoop for a little bit in the morning. I'm like, I don't know if I could get it together to play in the morning. You know, like I don't think that I have it in me. Like I would now at this point, I need a whole routine. Like, there's a whole thing that you got to get doing before you even start playing ball.
Got to get the elbow pads going and the wrist pads and got to take that ibuprofen.
Jump on the bike for 20 minutes just to warm up.
Hey, we're going to go hoop. You want a game? Absolutely. 2.5 hours. I'll see you in 2.5 hours.
I will say that as I've gotten older, there are things that I won't eliminate. Like, I'll go to a batting cage. Like, I'll go get my swings in.
I did that
a couple
too.
Times a year.
I did that last year with my daughter with Emma, who played D2 softball.
Good player.
And yeah, and then like really, really good player, can still swing it.
Yeah, my brother and I went, I see, maybe about a year ago, and I threw him into the softball cage. And you know, Braxton isn't sporty, but he used to be. So some of that muscle memory came back, and he's like hitting the ball, and he's like, "Can you still hit?" And I'm like, "Yep." So I said, "Let me move over a couple of cages." I said, I need about 10 pitches before it's going to look correct.
Just to time it out.
And
get the body going.
And then it was like, yo, I'm still hitting in the 80 cage. And at 49, I was impressed with myself a little bit.
There
that
you
that
go.
Was the thing. So, but basketball, I have completely given that up. And it was a thing that I loved as a child, but now, as an adult, I'm like the risk reward of someone our age playing basketball is not great.
Let me tell you, Lawrence, that I have won the last two games of Pig that me and my wife and Ruben have played on the Nerf hoop in the boys' bedroom.
That I would do.
I'm rolling right now. The touch is back on the Nerf hoop. what I can't do is some of the trick shots that the boy likes. Like, the best shot in his room is a fadeaway into the beanbag. It's like a fadeaway where you fall into the beanbag. And since I pointed out, I said, that's the best shot in your room. He has now worked very hard at perfecting it.
Have you ever seen, I forget the guy's name, I want to... There's this guy on Reels that puts up these incredible Reels, Muslim brother, that, and like all in the comments, like people will make like Muslim names, like he is Allah Iverson. Like, he has these beautiful Nerf games.
Oh, really?
That he plays, like these beautiful moves that
Send
he's doing on the Nerf.
On
the
Nerf.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my God, like he hit a fadeaway from 10 feet away.
The Rubster's got like the fadeaway falling jumper into the bed. He's got a wide variety of shots. I like to go off the wall. I've established one of the off the wall shots.
My
as
favorite
well.
Michael Jackson album.
Oh, it's a good one.
The best one.
I don't know.
The best one.
Wait, which one has She's Out of My Life?
That is off the wall.
Tito, get me some tissue. Yeah. You sure? I think it's Thriller. I think that's the clincher for me.
I heard a Stevie Wonder cover of one of the songs, and I was like, ooh.
Stevie Wonder cover of a Michael song?
Yeah, and I was like, ooh.
Oh, I like it.
This song has been out, this cover has been out. It's funny, I should have texted you, because I actually thought of you when I was listening to it. It was a Nirvana cover, and I'm like, that sounds so good. It's like a Nirvana cover.
A soul cover of a Nirvana song?
Kind of reggae. A little reggae.
Well, you know where Dave Grohl took all the rhythms for the Nirvana album, that he says he stole a lot of those rhythms and feels, is the Gap Band. There's a video out there.
Yeah, I've seen him say that he owes all his money and the Gap Band. I was like, you damn right. Yeah.
Like, all that stuff on that Nirvana record is, you know, he says he took from the Gap Band.
So check this out. It's Lagrima featuring Jametta Rose, and they covered Lithium.
Ooh.
And it's like, it's kind of got kind of a cosmic soul reggae like type like thing to it, and it's really beautiful.
I could hear that.
And I was sitting there going, I wonder if Kurt would dig this. And I'm like, I think he would.
Oh, I think he probably would.
And I was like, you know, that's the type of thing that a Tributosaurus is all about.
Yeah, but not now. I don't think Kurt would dig it now, necessarily.
No.
Yeah.
I still think that it's pretty hilarious that his daughter has a son and the son's grandfathers are Kurt Cobain and Tony Hawk.
That is a bizarre thing. That is an absolutely bizarre thing.
Like, that's a 90s Mad Lib. You know what I mean? Like, just like, who are this kid's grandfathers? Tony Hawk and Kurt Cobain.
Right, of course.
Raised the coolest kid that's ever lived.
Listen, we were supposed to be talking to Matt Forte, and instead we're talking to each other and we're talking to you. Which is lovely. It's lovely, frankly. It's the eve of New Year's Eve. We are having some fun. We appreciate you all. Last night, Lawrence, I fell asleep during the middle of that football game. I'll be honest. And I woke up to, among other texts, you in the group thread saying, "That's the best catch I've ever seen." And I'm like, I wonder what he's talking about. And then I watched the full highlight of that game and saw what I still think should have been a catch. I'm still here today thinking that Puka Nacua should have gotten that call. And it's making me rethink, do I need to rethink the definition of a catch in the NFL? Because I know, I mean, folks have seen it, I assume, but we can hear it and discuss it.
Yeah, why don't we do this first? Let's go with Buck and Aikman first. Them describing the play and the aftermath of the play and the views that they got on it, on whether or not Puka Nacua came down with this ball.
Two big opportunities, which you wouldn't expect to see in this situation.
They got to go to the sideline now. It's Nacua. He grabbed it. Was it a catch? The officials are getting together to talk. Let's take a look. They have not ruled whether it's a catch or not.
I mean, how do you even
ruling
get
on
that?
The field is an incomplete pass. Brings up fourth down from the previous spot.
Well, I mean, what am I seeing that they don't? Because that looks like a catch.
I think this is a better look at it.
That's incredible. That's a one-handed left-handed
catch. That's a
catch.
Both feet were in bounds. That's a catch.
He definitely gets both feet down as long as he maintained control of that ball through contact with the ground. That's a catch.
And A.J. Terrell, I mean, he had his hand in there. I'm not sure how Puka's even making this play, but that's a catch. That's amazing.
That's going to give the Rams a chance. Review. Does the ball come out there?
Well, it came loose there at the end.
And that shot changes everything. On that shot, you can see the ball did come loose as he's going to the ground. This is an incomplete pass.
All right, now hold on.
That last
Stop it, Tyler. We got a problem. He does complete the catch through the ground, and the ball doesn't come loose at the end. That's the thing.
The ball does come loose, though.
No, it comes loose in the middle. By the time he hits the ground, he has control again.
Yeah, but his feet are out of bounds by then.
But the feet were in bounds as he had the ball.
But he hasn't completed the play.
But then the dude hits him and the ball's in the air.
He finished the play.
He grabs it out of the air.
I know.
Before he hits the ground, it never hits the ground.
That is a
catch 10 times out of 10 on the playground without the moment for moment. It never hits the ground.
I would have given it to him, but
he deserves that catch.
When you see the slow-mo and the slow-mo has the ball no longer in his hands, even for that split second.
It's unbelievable. It is so clear. It is just floating in the air for that split second after the defender knocks it out. But then he re-grabs it. That, by the letter of the law, that should be a catch.
Well, by the letter of the law, it's not a catch.
But it should be.
Artistically, it should be a catch.
Lawrence, they need to change the letter of the law. I'm saying, like, if you have it and your feet are in and then you bobble it, it's in the air, and then you grab it again and then you hit the ground, nothing has happened to disavow your possession of the ball.
But if his feet were still in bounds after he gathers it, it would have still been a catch. But he was out of bounds and the ball comes loose and he didn't complete the play. The defensive back did. How about the Westwood One call of this?
From his own 35 of the Rams, shotgun snap, three-man rush. Stafford winds up, long pass, far sideline. It's for Nacua, who caught the ball, but was he in bounds? Was he in bounds? The officials over there are conferring. They are talking. No ruling. They are meeting. And they have yet to come up with a decision. Are they calling it?
Brings up fourth down from the previous spot.
It was incomplete. He was on the chalk.
I don't know if he was on the chalk.
He had it with one hand, and he dragged his toes.
And he dragged both toes.
That's a catch,
that
right?
Is a catch.
He had it with one hand.
Unless the ball moves.
It does not move.
Snagging,
that's a catch.
Snagging that with his left hand, that'll go up to the booth, I would have to assume.
Of course it
for
does.
A review.
Inside 2 minutes always.
The previous play is under review.
Oh, but you know what? The ball fell out as he was going to hit the ground.
You're exactly right. You couldn't see it until we We get another
view. Flipped the angle, and the ball was just released out of his hand. Oh, my goodness. That was almost a phenomenal catch.
He had it, and when he tried to bring the ball, well, that also had
A.J. Terrell who had his hand right there on the left wrist of Puka Nacua and was able to just kind of flip the ball out of his hands as he was going to the ground. Wow, what an incredible catch and play by A.J. Terrell.
Listen to the childlike wonder in our guy Kurt Warner.
He's
right
great.
There. That's so great. Yeah, you know what it reminds me of? You know those times when replay's too good in baseball and a guy overslides the bag by half an inch his foot pops up?
He's out.
And he's out because his foot pops up by half an inch or a centimeter.
Hey, that's why you got to hold the tag.
It just ain't right. And that was like, he re-grabs it before he goes down.
But he's out of bounds at that point. He's got to maintain possession.
Tyler, if I made that catch in the Turkey
Bowl.
If you
made that catch, Tyler, we're giving that to you.
Yeah, you're giving that to me. That's what I'm saying. If I make that catch in the scored Turkey Bowl.
Well, if it's a Turkey Bowl, I mean, yeah, I would give it to you. But, I mean, this is an NFL game prime time.
I assume Connor O'Donnell would be there with the video.
With the cameras. He's only got the one angle, though. The one that doesn't
show. He's a review guy.
I know. And the Twitch mob would be our eyes in the sky.
And they wouldn't give you the catch. But I would.
I think they would. I think Dino from Mount Greenwood would give me that. Catch. I think he would. I think all y'all in the Twitch mob would give me that if I made that catch in the scored Turkey Bowl.
So here's the interesting thing about the ramifications of that non-catch. The Rams then don't get an opportunity to try what I think would have been like a 60-yard field goal to tie the game. They end up losing the game. The Rams are stuck between 5 and 6. That's where they would be. But because the Falcons won, we now get into a very bizarre tiebreaker situation for the NFC South.
I had heard this referred to by Scott Hansen as the Atlanta wrinkle. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm not going to look it up. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me.
The Atlanta wrinkle is this. Since they won this game, that puts them at 7-9. If they win their next game, that makes them 8-9. And if Tampa beats Carolina, they will all be 8-9.
All three of them will sit atop the division at 8-9.
The tiebreaker would be the Carolina Panthers beating Atlanta twice this year. And even though they lost the game on Sunday, they would be your NFC South champions. So the Buccaneers need to win the game against Carolina and hope New Orleans beats Atlanta on Sunday.
So it's not enough that Tampa... It's not enough that Tampa wins the win-or-go-home game.
Correct. It's not technically a win-or-go-home game because there's the Atlanta situation.
Because they lost to Carolina just a couple of weeks ago.
Right. The two teams
split. Or 1 week ago.
So you go to the next tiebreaker. And the next tiebreaker is common divisional opponent. So you have Atlanta there. Wow. And Carolina beat them twice.
So Carolina could lose and get in as a 7-9 team.
8-9.
8-9, excuse me. Would they be thought of as the worst division winner to get in? We had a 7-9 Seattle team. Seattle team was 7-9.
I think that this particular Carolina team is worse than that Seattle team.
And I wonder if you'd look at the resume and say 8-9 but lost to the Bucs and getting in on the technicality would give them the crown as the worst.
By the way, what I do like about it is that it does force people to look at the season that Bijan Robinson has had.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many people are paying attention to it.
Very few unless you're a fantasy football player.
That dude is averaging 5.3 yards per carry. 5.3 yards per carry on the season.
He's a lot tougher than I expected him to be. That was my fear for a running back that size.
He's honestly having a Matt Forte season.
Yeah, he's an interesting one, isn't he? Because there are times when you watch him like, well, he's not quite as like shifty and evasive as I expected with the ballyhoo and the draft pedigree. You know what I mean?
But like he's damn good, man.
And he's really fast when he gets in the clear. I mean, 93 with nobody catching him.
Pretty crazy.
It's pretty crazy stuff.
But yeah, that is something that is on the line this weekend. And don't Carolina and Tampa play Saturday? I think they play Saturday, and then Atlanta and New Orleans play Sunday, right?
Well, there's good ones on Saturday. There's two good ones on Saturday.
No, but I'm saying, like, think about this.
Oh, so Tampa, they could win their game and still have to wait.
And then you're sitting there and like, come on, Tyler Shuck, do that work. Do that work for me.
And he might.
And he just might. He's played really well.
Just like the Ravens sitting around watching the Browns do that work the other day.
Facts. When we come back, we had this really wonderful conversation with Nico Horner yesterday. And there are portions of it that we wanted to share with you in case you missed it. And one of those things is about the rumors swirling about Nico being traded. You'll hear what he had to say about that next here on The Score.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Spiegel and Holmes.
If you're not listening to this show, then I don't know how you're hearing this. But if you're also not listening for other reasons, then you need to stop not listening, because this is a show you should be listening to.
Afternoons on The Score.
That's not a promo. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I would have bet they would win. Not that that like necessarily makes sense, but what it just felt like was they were going to make it happen, especially with just like the big plays that they'd been able to pull off all game. And man, the hook and ladder was just so fun and bold, and you can analyze it a million directions, but it was the kind of thing that like couldn't believe it was happening in full speed. I thought it was going in for sure.
It's our guy Nico Horner. He was in the stands at the Niners Bears game on Sunday night, and you know, it's just such a different perspective, obviously, for him as a pro athlete, but just a football game versus a baseball game is such a different perspective when you're in the stands. I was thinking about that. With a baseball game, all you see are the players, and then in the dugout and everything is everything tucked away. With a football game, you see the entire operation of the organization.
Yep.
It's like all on display. The training staff, the coaching staff, the support staff, the
blue tent.
Right? You see the entire, what a completely different perspective in terms of being at an event for our guy Nico. But there was some stuff that jumped out to you. You want to make sure that our listeners heard it.
Yeah, so we'll do the football last because that's fun and less important than the baseball stuff with Nico. And the baseball stuff has to do with all of the rumors. There are Cubs fans that I've actually run into in the building. They were like, I heard you guys had Nico on.
Yeah, our buddy Marty Leonard's from XRT, yes. Massive Cub fan.
And he's like, I hope they don't trade him. And I'm like, yeah, I think we're all in that place of hoping that they don't trade Nico. But it had to be discussed because we've been hearing it. So Spiegs brought it to Nico's attention.
I hated bringing it up.
And we talked about it. Here's what Nico had to say about it.
Yeah, I see most stuff. I mean, things are inevitably sent to me, especially when it's like connected to the Giants. Like people here obviously get excited about things like that. And it's hard to explain to people that things can both be like, yes, that's not false reporting, but that also doesn't really mean anything. It's like, it's hard to navigate that space, I think. But yeah, I see stuff.
So it's interesting. So he says, it's hard to tell people that is not false reporting, but it also doesn't mean anything. Think about that. So when somebody says, I read that you might get traded to the Giants, and he says, and they're like, is that BS? And he's like, No, I'm sure my name was brought up. You don't know by which team it was brought up. You don't know what the incentive is for it getting out, but I'm sure it was real. But it also doesn't mean I'm going anywhere. This is just my life that I have to deal with here. And trying to explain that to people is a very tricky thing when you actually give a crap about communicating with your friends and family.
Yeah, and when you're someone that it's difficult for Nico to not be honest. And so I felt like as far as someone dealing with a trade rumor, that is the best that I've ever heard someone deal with it.
When we were talking about the Cubs convention, and I was like, are we gonna see you at the Cubs convention? I was definitely thinking, you're not getting traded between now and the Cubs convention, are you? And he was like, yeah. They would like me there. That's kind of one of the requirements.
It's part of the gig. I have to be there. That's a whole thing that happens where I have to be.
You've seen me there.
We've done interviews at the Cubs convention.
I'm always there.
But he also said.
He didn't tell us when the Giants convention is, did he?
No, we need to look.
But I don't want to look. You did it. You just got me mad again.
I don't want to look at Nico being traded.
It's pretty good, Paula Cole.
Thank you.
I think my secretariat earlier was better.
No,
my
secretariat, especially with you putting him in the car. Also, people may have noticed that the cheese grater is now our third host
show. We are joined by the cheese grater hat. He's in the mini fridge position. What else has been there? The Christmas tree, the Bears Christmas tree with the Bears in it. We don't have a third on this show. We're not like Middays or, you know, the Afternoon Saloon. We don't need a third. We take care of it, just the two of us with our massive personalities.
Maybe now that we have a third person, maybe John Greenberg will talk about this show in infinitum. Maybe he'll do a retrospective on this show.
Maybe he'll write the oral history of Spiegel and Holmes and the cheese grater. It's been half of one segment, but that's enough for good old Johnny.
So you know, Speaks, that during breaks, I usually will try to get some steps in. I walk around and stuff. I'll get hot water for my tea, like all that stuff. And so I'm walking over to the FM side because over on the other side of our building, or our floor, is Jams and B96.
B96. And so, what's up, Dash?
Shout out to Dash. Shout out to Dash. Sonic.
Absolutely.
So I walk over
there.
And
Ed Lovers, he still work over there?
Yeah, syndicated at night. We never see him in the building.
That'd be so much fun.
Shout out to Rick Party. I mean, shout out to everybody.
Yeah.
There it is.
Shout out to Mom.
Jen BT. Let's do it. So I walk over there because I usually will switch it up. It's like one way. Sometimes I go BBM first and then walk around. This time I went to the FM side. There's Mitch with a box of those. He's like, look, I got him.
Mitch Rosen.
Yes.
With a box of cheese grater.
The operation director of Odyssey Chicago.
That's incredible.
And he's like, I got the cheese graters. I'm like, give me one. We're going to make it our co-host.
I'm going to say that's the most important task he's accomplished all week. Right there.
And there he is, you know,
the
like
cheese grater
for the people.
Doing we did good.
It. And then I told Connor, I was like, hey, the cheese grater is going to be in for the rest of the show.
Mitch, no offense to your other tasks.
Yeah.
For God's sakes. But you know there's nothing more important. Here's the thing. If the Bears beat the Lions and they get the Packers, these hats are going to be everywhere.
They were at the Baltimore game.
Mitch got out front of the mad rush on cheese grater hats. He's out front. It's very, very smart.
Yeah.
Thank you. Are you giving me one?
Yeah, I will.
You know what? I will.
He'll enjoy it.
Yeah, the Sonny boy will enjoy it.
Baltimore Ravens had these at the ready Saturday.
Thank you. Love you. Love your show.
By the way, speaking of Mitch, I went to Starbucks today in the building.
And you get six shots over ice.
So I run into Ryan Porth on my way there. And I'm like,
he was getting six shots over ice.
I'm like, Porth, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going to Starbucks. I'm like, oh, me too. So I walk over there. They saw him coming because they knew he was going to get Mitch's too. And they were like, tell him we're out of espresso. Just tell him we don't have anymore.
Oh, no. That's not true, though.
No, they made the drink, but they were joking with Ryan because
danger.
Mitch has a ridiculous coffee order.
Can't run out. Cannot run out.
No, it's really ridiculous. Cannot what else are we talking about? Our buddy Nico.
Nico, with Nico Horner, he was talking about the quarterback position. watching the quarterback play.
And then make throws. Because as a middle infielder, you have to throw from a bunch of weird angles. So we asked him about watching the throws as someone who does this for a living. Here's what he said.
It's unbelievable. The flat-footed and cross-body stuff that he does is crazy. It really looks like a shortstop. And obviously, I see things through that lens, just kind of what I do and get to be around a lot. But yeah, it's unbelievable. The flat-footed throw, like 40 yards, 50 yards, early in the game was incredible. It just looks so easy, and he's amazing to watch.
Is there anything more difficult in sports than to be the quarterback of an NFL team?
Yeah, and it's the once-a-week nature is so hard. I mean, because whatever happens is analyzed nonstop for 6 days. You don't get to go do it again the next day or day after like us in the NBA. And you so much carry the weight of an entire group of people. And I feel like it's an interesting point in the NFL as far as analyzing quarterbacks, right? It's so much got fluctuation right now, game to game and year to year. And it's so cool to see how much he's improved in a year.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's right about the once-a-week thing. I'm reminded of what Rex Grossman said to the Midday Show when he was on with them. He said that it took him a while to realize when he was a player that if you're bad on Sunday, that means you're bad all week. You're a terrible quarterback on Sunday. For one moment in time, that means you're a terrible quarterback all week long. And it got difficult for Rex. That's what Nico's referring to there.
Watching both of those guys throw, and Brock Purdy is on a really interesting like throwing program. His choice, like his delivery of the ball, is something to be studied because it kind of flies in the face of the conventional wisdom of how a quarterback should set up and throw. But he's been doing it forever, and he's really, really good at it. And there's a lot of Drew Brees in him as far as the mechanics of him throwing. And seeing him also being like flat-footed and making some of these throws, yeah. Like, damn. Like, we watched some really high-level quarterbacking on Sunday night.
And I can make any throw.
Yeah, he can.
We just know that, him. Caleb.
Yeah, and what Nico's referring to, the flat-footed 40-yard throw, is the touchdown to Luther, right? The touchdown to Luther in the back of the end zone.
Yes.
Just standing there in the back of the pocket, flat-footed. There was a moment of absurdity in the Sunday night football intros, and it got us thinking about something that you saw on the Bears website, where one of the assistant coaches was being reminded of some of his own absurdities. Matt Bowen joins us at the top of the hour. We come back a little fun right here on Spiegel & Holmes on The Score.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their Showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Spiegel & Holmes.
It is on like radon charm.
With a fleet of super bad, so status radon charm.
Afternoons on The Score.
Spencer Burford, Captain Crunch University.
Okay, what? What's that?
Do you need to hear that again?
Yeah, I mean, well, because it happened in real time on Sunday night as their intros were happening. It was like, did he just say Captain
All right,
Crunch
Tyler,
University?
Drop the music and hit it again.
Spencer Burford, Captain Crunch University.
All right, so why does Spencer Burford of the offensive line of the San Francisco 49ers claim to have gone to Captain Crunch University?
I would just like to say this for the record. Whenever Captain Crunch comes up, I would like for everyone to know he did not serve, okay? He did not serve. It is stolen valor. That's why on the box it says Cap'n.
It says Cap'n.
He be Cap'n, and he's not an actual captain. So
Spencer Burford, Captain Crunch University.
But so, see, he gives it the T. He says Captain Crunch.
I would say to him that you need to check your own credentials because you have gone to a university of someone of stolen valor.
Hold on a second.
Stolen valor!
I mean, that if you invent a fake university and steal valor, you just might end up president of the United States.
It's possible. All I'm saying is that the captain part is right. He be captain that he was a captain.
But so Spencer Burford said that. And I'm like, what? Did that just happen? Because everybody then later caught the Caleb thing where Caleb doesn't say Oklahoma or USC.
He says
this.
Caleb Williams, shout out mom.
Shout out mom. There's no university or high school or hometown or anything there.
I kind of dig that.
It strikes me that you could really say whatever you want.
Yeah, and some guys do. Like what was Terrell Suggs was Ball So Hard University.
Okay, but that's at least a fake university. Like Spencer Burford at least went with a fake university. Again, I don't know if Captain Crunch University is an actual school.
It's Cap'n, and again, he didn't serve. Folks, all right, he folks. Just what Navy did he serve in? 90 Navy of mine. Uh-huh. Stolen Valor.
Look, here's the thing.
It is my absolute favorite cereal, by the way.
Oh, there's some on top of the fridge right now, which is the official place to put cereal. But on top of the fridge.
But once I found out about the Stolen Valor,
yeah, but
that was
the
end.
There is, if you Google Captain Crunch University.
Cap'n.
Well, maybe I'll try Cap'n Crunch. Because if you Google Captain Crunch University, all you get are stories about Spencer Burford. This is not a thing that existed.
He created a thing.
I believe that he has created a thing.
Is it possible that Cap'n Crunch is produced close to where he went to college?
I don't know. I see nothing. And all I see now are some tweets of other people saying, did he just say Captain Crunch University? So, yeah. He did say that, and he has created a thing on its own. But then I didn't realize that this made its way to the website. Apparently, Antoine Randall-El, the Bears assistant head coach, has a long history as a player of having fun with that stuff.
Yes.
What did he used to say?
He said all sorts of crazy stuff. They did a whole social media post about it.
Man, y'all better get some flavor. Ain't no flavor in that. Fellas, we need some flavor. Be candid. Be you. Like, whatever you normally do different on Sunday Night Football. Like, this is a big stage. Like, you just can't say your school name. I saw somebody said the Dub or something like that. That's cool.
Antoine Randall-El, Indiana University.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. See that right there? That's flavor. That's a little change up. That's a little flavor, a little change up that you don't normally hear. All right. And I ran the name. All right. And when you run the name, you got to give a little something to it. And that's what I did right there. You guys got to have some flavor. I have flavor. This was 20 years ago, I think. And it still got flavor. Put some flavor on it, fellas.
So look at that. Antoine is suggesting that the people put the flavor on it. I need to go back and look at a compilation of what Antoine did, because I don't remember.
There's Antoine Randall-El, Indiana University.
Oh, that's him.
Yeah. He did a
he
couple
did Roger,
of...
He did Roger Radio right there.
Roger Radio. There's a couple of Ron Burgundy-type ones that he did. And I like the idea of him saying to the young guys, have a little fun. But it is... It's one of those things where they usually do that in July or August, and it'll be like after a practice or whatever, and like, hey, you got to do the NBC thing, and guys are just like, oh, okay, Caleb Williams, USC, thank you, yeah. And then you go on and live your life.
So all we had was Caleb doing shout out mom. That's how they responded to the assistant head coach's call to action?
I don't think that this is I don't think that the guys have heard that. What I'm saying is that for guys to change what they do, it would take a lot because usually that's in the can months before you actually play.
All right, several textures are pointing it out, and I must have missed it, that C.J. Gardner-Johnson said he went to Al Harris University.
He did.
City Deuce, Al Harris University.
Oh, Tyler Buterbaugh's got it. This is why he's number one on my Tyler depth chart. That's tremendous. I had missed that. He went to Al Harris University. Al Harris getting the shout outs from everyone, including Chris Collinsworth after the pick six on Al Harris doing what, helping the DBs do what they have done. That's tremendous.
And now everyone's trying to take Al Harris away from you.
Yeah.
I don't know if he even wants that though. Like some guys find their purpose as it's great being the best position coach in the league. Like that's a great thing.
Yeah, don't push yourself to get overhired, right?
Who knows? I don't know what his goals are. Like he might be someone that wants to be a head coach someday. So clearly you would want to then ascend to being a defensive coordinator for somebody, but DA's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So it won't be here. And I feel like if anyone is going to get snatched off of this staff, it would be him. I know that some people were making the argument, oh, Declan Doyle. Like, no, that's not happening for a number of reasons. One, he doesn't call plays. Two, he is fiercely loyal to this guy who gave him this major come up that he's got going on. Salute that man, because that man served.
That man served.
Unlike Captain Crunch.
So there is one current head coach, at least that I know of, at least one, but there's definitely one I know of, who was a defensive backs coach for Dennis Allen. And that is Aaron Glenn, who spent 5 years as a defensive backs coach for the New Orleans Saints.
But then got a coordinator job. You don't jump all the way to...
4 years as a coordinator in Detroit. 4 years as a defensive coordinator
in Detroit.
They
really missed him this year.
They really did. They really did. So there's one example of the path right there for Aaron Glenn,
if
that's what Al Harris wants.
Eric Bieniemy is good as gone. I don't know if that's true either.
No, Eric Bieniemy has found his ceiling, and the league has told him what it is. And that's okay.
I hope he's really good. I hope
that
he gets interviewed for any sort of head coaching, because he's been in the head coaching cycle before. But I don't think just because the Bears had a great run game that he will now be given the opportunity to maybe he could end up going back to being an offensive coordinator. But I wonder about that, too. Like, I wonder if, like, are you happy? Like, and it all depends. Like, each individual guy, like, what are your goals?
Well, you know, maybe you'll get the offensive coordinator job in Kansas City after Matt Nagy becomes the head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
I mean, that's the most real possibility, I think, for
Eric
Bieniemy.
Sure.
And I'm because Andy Reid likes familiarity. He likes routine. He likes that he's given his guys an opportunity to go and be out in the world.
We'll touch on it some more at 5:25, but get ready for Matt Nagy, head coach for Cam Ward in the Tennessee Titans.
Or maybe someone else. When we come back, Matt Bowen, we can talk to him about some of this stuff and talk about the Bears' defense overall. It's next on The Score.
More arrogance by Matt Nagy.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces, like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.